on? Yeah, we're on. Welcome to Come to Your Senses. Boom. Oh, boy. We got a special show. I am here with my old buddy, Mike Constantini, the original engineer I had, my best friend. We're right here. We're doing it at his place. This is old school. This is old school. You know,
we used very
to have,
old.
Yeah, we used to have our own podcast. You know, before we broke up.
200 episodes.
200 episodes. I can't believe we did 200 episodes of a podcast. I can't believe that. I don't know.
Yeah, it went crazy. By in a blink.
It did. It did. It was fun. We had, met a lot of cool people. You know, we had our arguments. We had our fun. You know, we had our things. But you know, hey, it's like the Beatles. I bet you. You know, when the Beatles finished. You're like, wow, that was quick. That was weird, you know? But my guest just looked at me like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it's just a long...
It's a long right here. Yeah.
It's good to be back. I've had a lot of health problems. That's why I haven't really been on the show.
Yeah.
But this is therapeutic.
Yeah, it is. Very.
No, it's great. It's good to be back in the same room with you. Doing a show.
We got a great show, right? We're gonna do three trailers. Pixels.
Really?
Starring Adam Sandler.
Oh, and,
exactly. And one called The Vatican Tapes, which is a horror movie.
That kind of looks good.
About the Vatican. Yeah. I don't know. And then, of course, Mission Impossible, who my guest is... I don't think she's ever seen any of the
other. I haven't.
No, okay.
No.
You know what? You know what? You can watch this
know
one.
Of him.
Yeah, you know of him, right?
Yes. But
you can watch this new Mission Impossible, and it would make no difference of all the other ones.
How is Tom Cruise still able to do this? He's like 50. He's hanging off of airplanes.
You know,
short people don't age.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay.
Napoleon did pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, he was still in there. He was still in the mix. I mean, and, you know, Tom Cruise was leaving Scientology, I think. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he said. I don't know. It's like in the news. He's doing it for his daughter, Suri.
Oh,
because she's not a Scientologist.
Well, that's why the whole thing was that they left. You know,
he thinks his cell phone's his daughter.
Yeah,
really messed him up.
I know.
Oh,
that,
they really did.
Can you imagine?
Number.
She really got screwed. What's her middle name? Let's call her middle name.
Iowa.
Exactly. But let me introduce my guest. She is fantastic. She's a lovely, lovely girl, talented, very sweet girl. Loves her animals. Damn it. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
Right here, her name is Odette Delacroix. Yeah.
So nice to be here.
Thanks for doing the show. It's funny because when I called you, you're like, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't know much about movies and all that. I'm like, who? You know what? I don't even care. Fuck it.
And I was like, where's the escape for this?
Yeah,
where's the exit? What do I say to get away?
Right, to get away.
And he's like, you can say nothing. To escape.
You're
coming.
You email me and that's it. You're in. But thanks for doing this show right here. Oh boy,
I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I've been, we've been, texting each other, and you know your stuff. You know your movies. You know, it's not like there's sometimes cheesy movies, or sometimes there's a movie, but you know, like when you see a movie, like the good dramas, the top of every genre, I think you've seen. You know.
Yes.
Say,
I've tried to do a little bit of homework.
Right. But it's
over the years.
Yeah. Were you not a movie buff growing up, or your parents didn't allow you?
No, we didn't even have a TV.
Wow. Oh,
so,
wow. I get a lot of guests that happens that way. What? How's that possible?
You know? My parents had this house that was about a quarter mile into the woods.
Wow.
And in Maine.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were very into a more traditional upbringing where they thought it would be really great for their children to just grow up frolicking in the woods and playing with the animals and doing hard farming labor before school every day.
Oh, great.
And
thanks, Mom and Dad.
And we all grew up becoming very, very different people.
Really?
Possibly because we just spent a lot of time in our own heads wandering around in the forest instead of in some producer's head. And I don't know, I always wonder what I would be like if we did have more access to television and certain parts of society growing up. But
you would have your own podcast, I think. I'm pretty sure you
I probably would have less of an attention span, but I would know more about how to interact with normal people.
Normal people. Is that an issue you don't know? Because is it something where people like reference something and you're just like, I don't know?
I'm just like, I nod, like, yeah. Okay. Like Tom Cruise, no, I haven't been on that ship yet.
No. Yeah. Oh, really? That is a great ship, you know, yeah. Right away.
But maybe moving to LA is how I overcompensated for all of the lack thereof in my childhood.
Right.
And I'm just bombarded with a four-year consideration billboards everywhere, especially right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody wants to talk about movies. Everybody wants to work inside the entertainment industry.
Right.
And the great irony is I make movies now, and they're never going to end up at some AMC theater anytime soon. Although you never know.
You never know. Well, what's a movie? That'd be great if I was like, what's a movie you did? Like, what's one title?
Well, I updated my website today, and it was called Platinum Pussy, Eliza Lore and Jade Rose Weigh-In After Gorging Themselves During a Pizza Party.
Wow.
That
mouthful.
It could be one of those Supersize Me documentaries.
Right, I could see, yeah.
With a twist.
Yeah, I could see that. Because I see a lot, I was looking at a lot of photos, and because I guess would you be a more, like, because you do a lot of fetish stuff, right?
Yes.
That's the thing, right? It's more of like the venue that you go more into aside or so, right? Than, I'm just saying, like, because are you...
I don't know what jaded me so much in life, but I looked at regular porn, and I was like, oh, boring.
Really?
I was like, I can do something more interesting than this.
Because I see a lot of very large women.
Yes.
Large women, and you... I guess, for the lack of a better word, play with them in a way, right?
I interact with them. It's either they're dominating me, or we're interacting sort of... as lovers or as friends, and it's really not that overtly sexual in nature, but I know that people get really turned on by just seeing the size comparison and the interaction between people who are really petite like me and really, really large women and men, and they love just the contrast of it, and there's not a lot of sites out there that offer that. I'm pretty sure I can't say this for certain, but I'm pretty sure that my website was the very first one that focused entirely on having both petite models interact with super plus sized models in each video.
Wow.
There had been, you know, there's a bunch of petite porn out there. There's a bunch of what they call BBW, big beautiful woman.
Is that what
porn
that stands
out there
for?
Yeah, okay. That's the acronym.
But there's
never anything together.
Yeah, I thought it was like I'm like, is that big? Because there's a big bad cloud. Is that what? I'm like, so it's like, and I was going like, what's this one? Big, is it, big woman? Is that why? And then I'm like, oh, big, beautiful. Okay. Yeah,
big, beautiful woman. And because they're very proud. They don't mind being called big or fat or plump or chubby or really any of those, what most people would consider offensive labels. They've kind of tried to reclaim that and own that label as something that they're proud of.
Right.
And a lot of these women, it's not like they all of a sudden got really large one day. A lot of them have come from just very like broad, heavy set families.
Right.
And it's something that they're so used to being, and they're so comfortable with their bodies. Mm-hmm. And they always have inspired me with their attitude. I think out of any talent pool that I've worked with, because I shoot a lot of different things, especially in the fetish world, and work with a wide arrangement of performers, they have the best attitudes. They're usually the most punctual, the most professional, and the most fun to be around.
Right.
On and off camera.
Yeah, that's cool because I saw one where the girl was like, because you were like on the bottom. Like I saw one where I was like, holy shit. Like, I mean, because the girl was like on top of you, right? Is that the case?
Yeah. There's some like, videos where people often request certain things that they really want to see on the site. And the number one request is always me being squashed or crushed by these girls. And I've developed over the years a lot of pretty good methods on how to do it and make it look really extreme, but I am proud to say I've never had an injury.
Wow, okay.
I've never even had a bruise, I don't think, from these shoots, and I can't say that about anything else I've ever shot. Because I do mainstream porn as well, and I've had tons of injuries on set.
Like
bondage,
like
injuries.
How so? Like crap web or like?
Just like anything from like a sore vagina would be very that's, practical.
That's a pretty normal
injury.
Right.
And that happens way more often than I think people realize for the female performers and for the male performers. They get sore too.
Yeah. It's like an NFL. It's like an NFL injury. Imagine it's like, you know, it's like they have to see it. And
yeah.
It's like,
and
turf toe. It's like, yeah, sore vagina. You get it. It's the same, you know?
And I mean, but you know, they have these great physical therapists that come over to them. Like we just have to go home and find a bag of peas straddle it.
It works. I mean, you gotta, you know, if it works, I mean, it's like, you know, when you gotta, you know, when people back in the day, when they get like punched in the face and they would go like get a steak on the eye, you know, or something. And I always thought like, that was, I'm like, how's that happen? I'm like, is that normal? I guess, but, you know,
I
guess you gotta stick the peas down there. And that's
we don't get full benefits.
Yeah, that's what sucks. Do you think that would ever happen in the porn industry? Is that, well, is
it
that
has like been attempted on numerous occasions to, at the very least, unionize amongst performers, because you know, the injuries, usually they're not very extreme and don't require actual compensation.
Right.
But there's really nothing we could do if that were to happen.
Right.
We're just kind of on, like, we have to fend for ourselves because there isn't any organization to really oversee this. There are, as far as the STDs and testing is concerned, there's a few organizations that oversee that and halt production whenever an outbreak occurs, and kind of serves as a watchdog group to make sure that everybody is getting tested and follows the rules. But there's nothing really that gives them the power to enforce anything. It's all by suggestion.
Right.
And we really, at the end of the day, can't turn around and sue the studios at this point if I were to get injured on set.
Right.
There's just not a lot of rights out there. So it is something that performers are trying to organize, but it comes with a lot of resistance.
Every
other industry in the early stages of unionization, it's not an easy task, especially one where, you know, no politician or really anyone with a lot of clout in politics is going to want to stick their neck out for the porn industry, because that's voter suicide.
Right.
So it's something that, like, they would love to probably help us.
Right.
And no one's, like, really, you know, overtly against it.
Yeah.
But it's just, who's going to be the one to step up and say, oh, I'm all for porn unionization and porn rights right now.
Yeah.
Vote for me. The handful of performers in LA will, but then everyone else, they're not going to really understand it enough to see beyond the porn
point
part
business,
of it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So who knows? Maybe one day, but every time that it gets close, it seems like acceptance of the industry kind of takes a turn for the worse and actually goes backwards.
Right.
Like, it was getting pretty good in LA as far as the organization, and there was a performer coalition that was doing really well. And then you have laws passed like the condom law that came up and became a really big public issue, where it's like, wow, we just went back 20 years.
20 years, it's like
overnight. Now, you know, doing our jobs in Los Angeles is, it went from being completely like legal and accepted by a lot of mainstream entities and by the LAPD.
Right.
Everything was working together.
Yeah.
To now we're not sure what is legal, what we're doing here.
Right.
You know, I can do a shoot and know that they're not pulling permits for it.
Wow.
And that's illegal now because of that law to even be there shooting what I'm shooting. And then the week before, it was totally fine.
Wow.
So it's going to for, like, if they go any further with it, unfortunately, it won't help anyone.
No.
And it certainly won't make the state any money because they've lost so much now with the exodus of major money-making studios just saying, okay, we'll go to Vegas, they don't care.
Wow.
And that's tax dollars flying out the door, especially over the hill in the valley where it's a big moneymaker.
Well, yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, the whole valley was like the mecca.
And California leaving.
Yeah.
California deserves it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they've driven away more industry than...
And that's just what's happening with unnecessary regulation. I mean, there's so many ways they could regulate the porn industry that would be beneficial to everyone.
Right.
But unfortunately, the route they chose was not the best one for anyone.
Anyone. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a.
But let's talk about something happier. There's a lot of fun parts about the job.
It's not only the porn industry, but you know the show Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
They wanted to film it in Riverside, but California wanted to charge them too much money.
Money, right.
Mm-hmm. So they ended up shooting it in New Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Imagine that. Like, how much did you lose out?
Oh, yeah.
Breaking Bad was like...
What do you think of, like, Riverside? Was Riverside like... I know we have our meth problems, maybe, but...
Yeah, no.
Is that what it is? Like, but we don't want to make this, like, normal.
No. Hey. Riverside had a meth problem, and that's why they wanted...
Riverside was, like, too soon. Too soon.
Right.
They wanted to shoot it there because it was real, but California, like, they brought in their tax stuff, and... Yeah. And it was just like, you know what? The producer of the show said, screw that.
Screw that, yeah.
And they went to New Mexico.
Right.
And they shot it in New Mexico very successfully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, yeah.
And all that money went to New Mexico.
Yeah, now they could afford, I don't know what they could afford, but I mean, do whatever they, you know, to be honest with you, New Mexico, I found that New Mexico, even if they had the money, they would spend it frivolously. I don't know why. I don't know. They would buy it. You know what? They would buy a Ferrari. I think they would just buy a boatload of Ferraris, you know, or something. I don't know to who, but I don't know. I always think when they always have like the money or they always have the... I just go like, what can I do with this? How many, like, can I build
green
a
chili and beer?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. Because I'm like thinking to myself, like, we got all, you know, when you get enough, a lot of money, sometimes you're like, should I save it? Should we go like this? And I'm like, and then like, but of course, the first thing you're going to pretty much do is buy like the most ridiculous thing you're going to pretty much imagine, you know, would it be, you know, for some people, it could be a baseball card that you always wanted as a kid or like, I don't know, you know, but it just, I don't know. I always feel like it just sucks with California because I always feel like we're one of those states that's very, I guess it, for a long time, very like liberal in most things. But then other things, it's like the exact, you never know how we're going to
shoot. It's so unpredictable now.
Yeah. You just never know. I mean, we had Arnold Schwarzenegger was our governor, right? Yeah. I forget about that sometimes.
And California, it is a liberal state.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. Mm-hmm. But they voted against gay marriage.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they reversed it.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like,
well, I mean, you know, now the Supreme Court, obviously. They've legalized it. But, I mean, California initially voted against it. I mean, I can't figure that out.
And you have, like, the number one. And number two cities probably in the gay nation, if you're going to have that, San Francisco and West Hollywood. I mean, that's basically in California. Everything so else
it
is
doesn't
like,
make any sense.
Yeah, like everyone's like I was probably like, what the fuck, California? You know,
I was surprised.
I don't know, but it's one of those things. But porn is it's an interesting bit. I always feel like there should be, like, I know there's always a documentary of stuff and how that works, but I always feel like it's, you know, when I see, like, the movie Boogie Nights, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I always go like, that, you know, that should have been a documentary in a way, because it's like,
there's a lot that goes on in Boogie Nights, where, especially for that era of porn, that captures it better than a lot of the documentaries I've seen, especially as of late, they've just been...
Yeah.
Dropping the ball left and right. I don't understand, like, who's making these documentaries.
I don't know.
But maybe they should talk to, you know, more people who are in porn, starters.
Right.
But I will say, I did watch a pretty good porn-based movie that wasn't a documentary. It was another fiction called Starlet. I don't think it's available on Netflix, but I think I rented it on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they really killed it as far as capturing what contemporary porn is like. And I could really relate to the main character in the movie and everybody else. Like, I thought the casting was genius as far as how these characters developed. And I could think of real life inspiration, like the research that must have gone down. And there's also a lot of porn star cameos in the movie. So they actually had real porn star. Asa Akira has a cameo in the movie, along with Manuel Ferreira, a big male porn star. So they actually tried. And I thought the writing was really great on it. And the story was really unique.
Right.
And wasn't just a slut shame fest like a lot of the other documentaries and movies can be. So that one gets my stamp of approval.
Yeah, there's a movie, I think it's called The Girl Next Door, and it was about this girl who was the girl next door, and I guess, I think she got into porn or something, and the guy, or I didn't even really see it, but I just heard about it, and there was like one, like it was this really weird, like, I get the premise of where the girl's next door and the guy always had a crush on the girl, you know, but the girl, of course, she was in like some adult porn or whatever. I don't know. Not to say in child porn, but I'm just saying like, I like when people say adult porn. I'm like, yeah, adult porn, right? Are you a child porn performer or adult porn? Okay. No, but I'm just saying like, it's just, yeah, it's, I don't think they really got into the whole porno thing. I think they were just like, oh, she's so hot that she, you know, that she's like a, that people lust for her, but they don't know the real girl. You know, it's, I don't know. It's
like, kinda, ooh, complex.
Yeah, real compelling. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, and you know, I don't
really,
I think my friend saw it and he goes, I didn't even think that girl was even nude in the whole, there was no nudity anymore. So it's like, how's that even work? I mean, it's like, either you're in porn or you're not in porn, right? Come on.
It's just fail. How but,
Wait, how long have you been in the business?
My first shoot was literally something I saw. This is going to make me sound crazy, but I was on Craigslist one day.
Oh, wow.
And they, I had done some nude modeling. I'll back up for a second. I moved out to Los Angeles in 2008 from Maine to go to college.
Right.
And I really loved painting. I could not paint in the dorms. I went to Loyola Marymount University, and I was in a brand new posh dorm room. So they were like, "Oh,
get you artist!"
We had like valet parking for the dorms. So they were like, "No, you're not taking your Walmart tempera paint and acrylics all up in here." No way. Wow. So I went down to their art department. I said, "Do you have any work study programs?" And I'll work for free as like an intern if I can just paint after hours, after class hours in the studios.
Right.
And they said, well, all we have is we need life models. And I didn't know what that was. I was like, yeah, okay. And they're like, all right. And they said, told me to show up a few days later. And I was like, you know, do I need any training or anything? They're like, no, not really.
No.
And
you just got to be, you just got to show up.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, good. I'm a life model. I'm
life You're a life model.
Like, what, so I show up and they're like, okay, now take off your clothes. And I was like, oh.
Really?
Life model.
Oh.
And that's what that means. That's cute. Word for it.
Right, yeah.
For just naked person standing in the room with a bunch of 19 and 20 year olds like trying to conceal their boners while they're painting.
I would
but they let me paint there after, so I was happy. And I was like, you know what, I thought I would, this you know, 5 years ago probably would have been my worst nightmare.
Yeah,
but I was so desperate and so broke, and I was happy to have this great studio space.
Wow.
And then the photography department said, oh, we need life models too for photography.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, like, this is good. I'll create a little bit of a racket for myself now. And so I started posing for them. And then one of the photographers said, oh, you know, you could get paid doing this now that you have a little bit of experience. They're like, people all over town will just pay you to do this. You know, instead of you just doing it for free.
Right.
And that hadn't even occurred to me. So I was like, I was like, I'm going to look online then for jobs. And they're like, yeah, you should.
Uh-huh.
So I just went online and Reality Kings was saying that they needed amateur girls for implied lesbian sex.
Implied.
So that we didn't need to pay for the testing, basically.
Right.
We just had to show up and pretend and stick our head between legs. And wow. I was like, this sounds even easier than that life modeling.
Really? Yeah. Oh,
and so I showed up and they literally paid me $1,000 for 2 hours of work pretending to have sex with this girl from Arkansas who probably never did another gig like that in her life after.
Really?
And I thought, this is great.
Yeah, this
and
is it.
So I started asking that producer, I was like, can you put me in touch with more people? And they said, sure.
Yeah.
And they loved my look and they loved my enthusiasm and the fact that I was kind of doing it like, more for the entertainment
right.
value than really the money. And I also was in college full time. So I didn't just show up to LA like needing a quick financial fix
right.
before I had to go back to small town America with my tail between my legs. So
right.
they liked my drive and they thought I had my stuff together more or less. So I started booking more and more work.
Yeah.
So from about 2009 onward, I was working regularly, driving up to the Valley from Loyola Marymount every weekend, booking gigs.
Did anybody at LMU like know?
I told my roommate a few of my friends because they were wondering where I would take off to.
Yeah, they're like, well, she's going to Van Nuys a lot. I don't know
what's happening there?
What is she doing in Van Nuys? Like, I don't know, but
life modeling.
Yeah, life model. I was like, what is that? It's like I know
it's really blowing up.
Yeah, I know. It's life model business. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, so I so it's like wow. It's like see if LMU. Would have let you paint. Do you think, like, you always look back and you go, if LMU would have let you paint on the thing, would you have been, like, in the same business? Or is that, did you think that was
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think so.
I think
I just kind of stumbled upon it and I liked to watch porn. I was familiar with, I knew that there was the industry was here. It's not what I came out here for. I was an English major.
Right.
But I really don't think I would have ever had the guts to go straight to a gig without doing a little bit of art department modeling to see how I felt about it at first.
Right. Okay.
So they really just sort of eased me into it
right.
like a proper Jesuit institution.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you gonna, easy win. Open. They wanted me to become a more well-rounded individual, and I certainly did.
you pay your taxes, why not? Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Hustler actually came out with an article about me when I was a junior at LMU that name dropped my college, even though I told them not to.
Oh no!
Somehow that piece of information got lost in the grapevine of their communication.
Yeah.
And
was that a big scandal or what?
I thought it would be because right away someone on my Facebook said, oh my gosh, I just saw you
in
an adult magazine.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I was so excited. I was like, really? Because I didn't know that they were name dropped my college yet.
Right.
So I was like, where can I get it? Oh, my gosh. And they're probably thinking, wow, like that was a different reaction than we thought she would have. So I went to the Studio City newsstand. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I had to drive all the way up to Studio City. That was the only place where I could find the brand new Hustler issue that I was in.
The one on Laurel Canyon?
Yes. And I went and I literally I just pulled over my car and shouted out the window. I was like, I need the Hustler. I'm in it.
Right.
I'm in it. And then I think I asked them, I was like, can I have it for free? Because I saw it was like $20.
Yeah, they're pretty hefty.
And I was like, but I'm in this. And they're like, sure you are.
You know what?
You and my mom still cost $20.
Right. I went to a newsstand the other day or so. Like I was trying to look for something, and I could have easily just got a magazine and just walked away with it because there was like hardly any whatsoever. Like the person was like talking to
somebody.
They've
all given up. They were like, people don't buy this anymore.
Like I was just looking. I'm like, I could have just got that. Hustler magazine, and no one would have said anything. I mean, I've now that I'm 38, I would, if I was 18, hell yeah, 20 years ago, I would have been like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna get this Hustler magazine.
Oh yeah.
But now it's like, it's all right. I guess I could.
Just wait for the PDF torrent, yeah, like exactly, everyone right, else.
Yeah,
like a normal person.
It is kind of rude. I wonder if they do, like, if they do buy a Hustler. It's like, unless you're not, like, in it, do they go, like, I wonder what they would be like, seriously, you're buying this?
Like it just kind of goes to show, like, publication, print as a whole is...
Yeah.
It's on such hard times right now. They couldn't even afford to give me a free copy. But I remember opening it up right in my car while I was still there, and then seeing, like, in big letters, it says, you know, Babe from Loyola Marymount University, you know, 4.0 GPA and budding porn career. What? And then a bunch of pictures of me of naked. Wow. And I was like, oh.
And they're pretty explicit. They're pretty.
Yeah. Oh, and. Oh my gosh. And then, like, you know, the next page is like how to give perfect rim job and stuff. And then it's like, no. I thought I was going
very,
to get.
That is very important.
Is that important?
Though.
Yeah,
it is important. You got to, you do have to know how to do a rim job, please. Come on.
They try.
Yeah,
but they try.
Yeah, exactly.
I was expecting a phone call from, like, any day from my, like, my. College financial aid department or scholarship that I was on or something.
Right.
Never heard a peep. In fact, I went on, like, I was starting to feel a little bit smug by my senior year because I was like, all right, I just cashed my final scholarship check that I'll ever get.
Uh-huh.
Now they can't take away anything from me money wise.
Right.
So I'm in a good spot.
Yeah.
So I was in this women's studies class. And they were, my professor was looking for a research assistant, and she was actually doing an article on sex work in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And I got I was on a kick one day because I was looking forward to, I had like a gangbang booked in Miami, like that I was leaving to the next day. And I was like, I'm going to make a bunch of money this weekend, go to Miami, hang out on South Beach where everybody here is no clue and is just studying.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. Right. I'm graduating soon. So she was looking for people to respond to this thing that we read in class about sex work, and I said, well, I got something better than your article. I was like, I'll give some first person accounts.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just was like, what?
Was there guys in that class?
Oh, yeah.
No, really?
It was excited. Like 50-50.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think maybe they got confused what women's studies was.
Yeah. Because I remember one time walking into, like, in college, like, it was African history, and I remember just sitting, and there was nothing there, but I was just like, and like the first class, the guy's like talking, I'm like, where the f-? Like, I'm like, you got to give me a map of Africa because I have no clue where you are. Right? Because it was like, it was all over the place, and everybody, and I was only like only non-black person in the class too.
I was gonna say the it would be hilarious if it was like all white people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I was like, kind of like.
And the
expecting.
Professor's like, oh man.
No, it'd be great if it was like a white woman.
I'm in the wrong college.
Yeah, but I was just going in there and going like, wait, where are we talking? Where was it? The war? And I'm like, you know what? It was way out of my. I'm like, I have nothing against it, but I thought maybe this was just like a real basic, easy one kind of class. And everyone's like, I don't know. You know what? I'll take Latin studies. You know?
Oh, yeah, because that'll be easier.
It was like Latin studies in LA, and I'm like, oh, okay, okay. You know, no big deal. But yeah, so you said it.
I just outed myself right then and there, and I didn't know how she would react. And after class, she took me aside, and she was like, I need some research assistance, and you can get credit if this gets published in a, you know, a peer reviewed journal.
Right.
And she's like, that'll look great on your resume. And I said, I'm down. And I did a little bit of inside research for her and was kind of her liaison. I put her in touch with some producers that she talked to and, you know, really was a great source for her. And she appreciated that. And also wrote like a really killer recommendation and reference for me that helped me land a job after I graduated. Wow. So all because I spoke up and took a risk.
See, porn pays. It's on the old days of Boogie Nights and all that, where it was like a shamed kind of thing. Like you could
yeah,
get
now,
that.
Now it's kind of like I try to refrain as much as possible from like going immediately to my porn card, like at parties, because I don't have better party tricks. So I'm like, well, I can just be like, well, you know, I'm a porn star.
Yeah, I think if you would have done, yeah, I would have been like, I'm like,
but it's almost like cheating.
Yeah, it is, because it is. It's not like, you know, like any typical job. It is a very
everybody
life
wants
experience.
To hear about it, and I don't mind talking about it.
Right.
So. It's hard sometimes, but you know, it can also be a pitfall where I see a lot of porn stars, they have played that card so many times that they forgot how to be like interesting humans outside of the business, because it's so easy to just get engulfed in it. And everybody nowadays, instead of like forcing you to hide it, they always want to talk about that. So you can easily become one dimensional because it's so, maybe not celebrated now, but encouraged in social circles to constantly, like, people always want me to be Odette Delacroix, even a lot of my friends, because they think it's so interesting. You know, they just sat in a cubicle for 9 hours a day, and I just came home from having like a lesbian orgy, and they want to hear about that because that takes them out of their mundane world, and I don't mind talking about it. Yeah. So, you know, I always try to find like a good balance and keep hobbies that have nothing to do with the business just to, you know, so that way if anybody tries to call me out and say, well, you're just a porn star, I can be like, well, no, I also do this, or I also like this, or I do podcasts talking about movies.
Yeah, there we go. Wow,
so
there we go.
Another thing to add on to my I am a larger, well-rounded person. Yeah.
See?
An individualist.
See, there
you
go.
Yes.
You know, I got kicked out of a lesbian orgy one time. No, just kidding. Okay. I didn't want to talk about it, but it's all right. You know, it happens. You know, it's one of those things.
Sometimes talking about it helps.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, I was going to do a News of the World segment, but it's, you know, I was going to talk about that guy who died by putting a firecracker on his head. What was that?
It was ridiculous.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I guess he got a little too much fun. Right? But, I mean, there's that. And
what
the whole
stupid way to die.
Oh, yeah, it's the most embarrassing way. If I died that way, I please, Mike, if I die a real dumb way, you have to make it up. Say I got killed by a bear or shot by a gang. Whatever it is. Because I didn't. That's like,
I mean,
yeah, like, how would you imagine? It's like you go to a funeral. You're like, I'm going to a funeral where the guy put a firecracker on his head and died.
Yeah,
like, that's
funny thing, it didn't even light at first.
Yeah.
So he just started dancing around with it on his head, and all of a sudden it lit, and then he died.
Boofa. Yeah.
See, are they making firecrackers better than when I used to play with them, stupidly?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what
I mean,
know. Yeah.
They tingle, but did he have an eggshell for a skull?
I have no
idea. I never dealt with
the serious
ones.
There's like some holes in this story as to what kind of firecracker this was.
You think it was like a missile or like a bomb?
maybe an M80.
They got serious stuff these days. I mean, you know, a long time ago when I was a kid, I lit off a screamer, they used to call them, and they just made a lot of noise.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I didn't know that at first. So
really? The name didn't really like hint?
No,
it just makes people scream, I guess, when they go, oh,
some
when
guy,
they look at the sky. That's
some
what they
guy,
scream.
Some guy at school gave it to me. Went in the backyard, I lit it, and then I threw it on the walkway, like right outside, and it just let out this huge scream, like a, you know, and then smoke everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And my dad came out, and he's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then I just said, some kid came on his bike and screeched his wheels.
So you gotta lie. See? There you go. See?
And then he was like, all right. And
that's good.
Away.
See, I would, you know, see, I'm dumb. I would have been like, I would have said the truth probably. I would have been like, oh, that was me. I'm sorry. You know.
Just firing off explosives.
Yeah. Just
you know.
Fire. Yeah, I did see that they actually created a death bullet. Like, it's a bullet that actually is more intense in your body. Like, if it gets in your body, like, it does more damage when you get shot
like
Wait, Carlos. A death bullet.
Well, yeah,
but I mean,
I'm just saying.
Versus, what, you know, your harmless pussy bullet.
Right. Difference that between normal. Just,
I don't know. I think I'm assuming it's like napalm was to back in the day, where like it would not only explode, but napalm would like shoot out tar and like this, like, or this chemical, and it would like, you know, burn people who even like not only would it kill everybody in that certain area, but also like it would just. Like it was like, yeah, like it was like a water balloon like exploding. It was just like, and then people would die through this chemical thing. And that's
pretty,
I think,
standard bullets do the same thing.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I have to figure it out. But it's called death bullet or something, I think. And yeah, so I don't know. And
you got to look that up.
Yeah,
I'll look it up.
It's a story in progress. Yeah, you're working.
It's a death bullet. It is kind of like a little like, yeah, I don't know. It's,
and whoever invented that, oxymoron, a little schmuck.
Bit. Yeah. Well, yeah. But you know, people got to make money some days. You know what I mean? Like I saw a documentary about this guy who was basically an arms dealer, and like, and how he was like he was like with these like dictators in the world, like he like knew everybody, all these people there, you know, and it was scary. They're like, and he used to work for the CIA, and he learned all these tactics, and when he just resigned, or they said like it was weird, like he got fired because he was doing money, like he was exchanging, like in the foreign market, like the black market,
money laundering,
kind of, or whatever it was. So what they said was,
of course he was. He's an arms dealer.
Right. And what happened was that the CIA didn't fire him. What they did was they said they have a term called walking the halls, which is like they don't give the guy an office. What they do is he just literally walks down the hall, goes to where the cafeteria is, and that's basically his office. They don't give him an office. So he resigned. And later on, he became like this huge arms dealer because of all the tactics and all the stuff and all the connections that he made being in the CIA. And of course, he was like, yeah, he was just, you know, it was just like a regular job, you know. And they finally caught the guy. Actually, I don't know. He was like in Cuba. I think he's still living in Cuba. Like, it was crazy.
Wow. You
know? That was like Lord of War, the movie.
Yeah, basically. War. I mean, it's not based like that, but it's basically an arms dealer who's like just, he doesn't really care. He's like, I don't care who you kill, whatever. I'm just selling this stuff. Here you go. You know what I mean?
They shouldn't have made them walk the halls. They should have promoted him to economics.
Sure, exactly.
Because he seemed to be pretty good at with money, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, he was a genius on that stuff. It's crazy. But, yeah, and I was also going to talk about Cosby, you know, admitting the buying drugs to drug women, you know what I mean? So,
oh, my gosh.
I think, you know what, that might be a fetish. Isn't that like a fetish where, like people are like sleep porn?
Well, there's some pretty dark fetishes out there. And
Cosby fetish, I think.
Sleepy,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Sleepy play, like the sort of like borderline necrophilia fetishes where... Yeah. I work for this site in Portland where they fly me up for about a week once or twice a year. And I just get killed over and over again in different ways. And they use pretty decent special effects.
Wow.
And in post, but also with makeup and, you know, guns firing blanks. And I'll get shot and strangled. And they have a morgue on set. So they go all the way up through the funeral. For each of these vignettes.
Oh, boy.
And they pay me really well. And it's, like, really easy for me because there's, like, 3 minutes of acting. Then I'm dead for, like, the rest of the day.
They just drag you around.
And, you know, I just, like, start falling asleep. I'm like, I've fallen asleep twice. Like, they put me in the coffin. And I'm like, oh, no. No, and they close it, and then I'm just like...
Yeah.
See, that's got to be a little weird, like lying in a coffin. That's something I've never done, and I'm just assuming it's a little weird. No,
well, it's like, all right, nap off jet lag, or be weirded out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just kind of try to see beyond that.
You don't get like a panic attack or anything? Like,
I get sat on by big girls. Yeah. Like, the coffin's easy.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would probably have a little panic attack. I mean,
I would be afraid. My mind would be kind of dark, where it's like I would be afraid to sleep in it and then close it, and then like they actually bury me. What's going on?
Yeah, buried alive. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know why, but like, I thought it was really relaxing. I think
Serpent
I have
rainbow.
I don't know what the opposite of it. I guess they call it an encasement fetish. It's like the opposite of claustrophobia, where instead of
people get turned on.
Where, yeah, I don't really get aroused, but it's relaxing to me. Like, you hear about people going in those like float tanks.
Oh, yeah,
where
you're
like kind
of
closed off.
A friend
and
of
it's
ours
like
did that. Yeah.
Completely dark, like zero stimulation. Yeah. Right. And
that's a lot
it's really therapeutic.
That's a lot different than a coffin, though.
But it's kind of a similar sensation. They're really cozy and they're tight and dark and.
Yeah, you know, you want to be
perfect
comfortable.
Nap
yeah,
spot.
You want to be comfortable when you're dead, of course. You don't want to, you know, lie in a little pine box for crying out loud. I mean, you know,
it's a little different.
You
than
want
a
to skimp.
Calm down, Mike. No one's burying you.
It's all in the mind, you know.
Yeah, Mike. Let's go to Portland. Come on, let's go over there. We'll have a little fun. We're gonna have fun. We're gonna go with our dad. We're gonna have a little fun over there. We're gonna.
We're gonna
fall asleep.
Go out to Portland and get some fake blood.
That would be. You know what? You would be a great passenger in line because, like, if I was like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Portland, going to a wedding, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna do some fetish thing.
Yeah.
It's like
carpool.
What? I'm like, what? That's awesome. Oh my god. Oh, man. But you know what? Speaking of coffins. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's get down the pike, baby.
Down the pike.
We got a couple movies here, and you know, you told me you're not in movies, but I'm pretty sure these movies, I guarantee you, you would probably, I don't think you would check these out. I'm sorry. You're seeing The Cold right now. I'm going to show you The Cold.
I have not seen the trailers.
Let's start.
I have no clue what they're about.
I'm going to tell you what they're about. This is one of them. Let's start with Pixels, starring Adam Sandler. We all know Adam Sandler. He's a big time box office draw. And you know what? He doesn't care what he puts out, really. So because they make money, but they could be like the worst crap. You know what I mean? Like
I watched the Africa movie. I did chuckle a few times.
I don't know. I've seen porn
movies.
And
I got a
more,
little. Like
better.
Warm-hearted.
I'm glad. Glad. Yeah, but let's see. Pixels. This is Pixels is a movie. Okay, this is what the story is that NASA, they in the 80s or early 80s decided to put like kind of like a one of those like a capsule, like a time capsule kind of thing, and send it out to space. And in those time capsules, they had like video game stuff like Pac-Man and Centipede. Okay, you know those games, right?
Yes, things they were really proud of at
right.
the time.
Yeah, because of course, NASA is like, we're not going to show you the video of us walking on the moon or anything like that. We're going to show you video games, stuff like that. This is what we do. This is what we have fun with, right? So they send it out to space, and I guess aliens find this. I guess it ends on like, the planet, or aliens discover this, and they think it's instead of finding it like a gift or some peace offering from another civilization, they look at it as like a warning and like some type of like saying like, hey, don't fuck with us because this is what it's going to happen to you.
Yeah, I guess, right? If you see Pac-Man cold and you're like, oh,
yeah, you
no.
see something, yeah, like a thing munching other.
That's what they do.
Yeah, there? Like what the fuck is this? So the aliens decide to make these Pac-Man and centipedes and all this into real like. Pixel kind of pixelated like things that destroy the Earth, you know, that go out and try to go out and destroy planet Earth. And the president is a regular guy, and he's like, hey, the army can't stop these guys, but my friends are Pac-Man champions, as a Pac-Man champion and everything, and he's going to help me out. So basically the president, who's Kevin James, and his friend Adam Sandler, who's the Pac-Man world champion, is gonna go and find the best old school video game guys, and they're gonna defend planet Earth.
Oh my!
From these pixel things, right? Here.
I can smell the weed that went into the screenplay.
You know what? I hope there was.
Like a
I
dank
hope,
screenplay
I,
right there.
I hope there was.
How can you not be high and?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think Adam Sandler has no shame.
No. Trust me, you're going to see this.
You can comment over the
1980s. Okay. Then NASA launched a time capsule into space containing examples of our life and culture in hopes of contacting extraterrestrial life.
Right. They got the pixel sound of it.
The message was taken the wrong way.
Uh-oh. I believe that some alien life force sent down real-life video games to attack us.
They're so serious.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Yes. Yes.
We've never faced a threat like this before.
We need video game expertise.
Video game expertise.
These guys were champions back in 82.
Sam Brenner, Pac-Man world champion.
What's up?
Ludlow Lemonsoft, master of centipede.
Also known as
your worst nightmare.
The token little prince.
Eddie Plant, king of Donkey Kong.
Okay, Peter Dinklage.
Please find the pattern and anticipate.
I don't know the pattern.
So, but yeah.
Shoot for the head.
That centipede.
You're welcome.
You got
Pac-Man.
This movie,
the only way to take down Pac-Man is with ghosts.
So boring for them to make though, because
these
everything in
ghosts.
It is just
Let's hit it!
CGI.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine like how much more degrading it would have been to just to see like their green screen shots of this?
Yeah, I know.
Where it's like, okay, Adam, there's a centipede coming at you that's made out of Legos.
Right. I just like the fact that it's like.
We got this.
It's like a real serious, like, alien invasion. I'm like.
This could have been a great comedy movie.
It is a comedy. Like, it is, like,
it's Adam Sandler.
But it's not funny.
But it's like. Yeah, I mean, like, this could have been a great comedy movie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's Donkey Kong.
The one game you suck at.
May I introduce to you the creator of Pac-Man.
Professor Iwatani, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is like my only favorite part.
He's my son. Hello, my sweet little boy. Look how big you've grown.
It's so sweet. He's so sweet.
You're a good boy. Ah!
Somebody kill this Twizzy!
Wait, and it turns them into pixels?
I guess so, yeah. That's like turns
Because
like...
that makes sense.
Well, aliens are far superior than anything else.
Yeah,
so.
All the...
They probably had this script for so long, and they're like, we just gotta wait for the people who used to actually play these games to get old enough
to be able
to buy marijuana,
right.
So that then they'll see this movie.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, wait, they turned 18 now? Oh, okay.
But now, you know, it's so weird. Like, it's so...
But, you know, listen, aliens, okay? Let's look at aliens, right?
Right.
They're very sophisticated, supposedly, right?
Supposedly, yeah.
So they come back here, and they create... games from back in the Nintendo 64 era.
No, not even that. It's like Atari, really.
Well, yeah, even Atari or Nintendo 16-bit, the NES.
NES, yeah.
And
I mean, really?
I don't know.
And why do they? Why in every Adam Sandler movie do they use like something from Queen or whatever? Like,
He's
you
a
know,
big fan of it, I guess.
Well, I'm just saying, but like, yeah, they spend a. You know how much it is to like license a track like that?
No, this movie probably with the CGI and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Costs, like, over
that's easily like $500,000 just to license that song. Is it really necessary? What does the song have anything to do?
I don't know.
With the movie. I'm sorry.
Well, they need to be like,
Mike's like, are you crying, Mike? No, it's
it kind of hurts your soul to watch that.
Yeah, it does. You know what?
But I mean, like, perfectly Adam Sandler, like, he exists because I don't know what else to bring my grandmother to the movies to see besides Adam Sandler movies, where it's like, nothing else is going to, like, it'll make her laugh and it won't disturb her and it won't mess with her heart medication.
Right.
So, like, I need him for that.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that need Adam Sandler. Like, you know what? My life is very, like, your friends are very, have these, you know, office jobs or remember day. And you know what? I need Adam Sandler to crack me up, I guess.
Or crap it up.
Crap it up, yeah. Fuck that. You know what I mean? Because I just think it's just funny that, like the president is like saying like, I need you guys or something. And I'm like, why? When has the president ever been involved in any attack or anything? Like even 9/11, we were attacked. The president was like, you know what?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You all handle
this. Worse than everything else. So, but this is another Adam Sandler movie that I think, I don't know if this will do it. I don't know. He's slipping a bit. You know I mean? I think people are now noticing it a bit.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, hey, man, you know, God bless him.
Yeah.
He does barely anything.
No. And he plays the same
barely
guy.
Barely acts.
No, barely acts, yeah.
I mean, he's just, and he just makes a shit ton of money.
Yeah. I know. Adonis has a big, beautiful woman. I was going to say big woman again. I was going to,
get that confused with SSBBWs, which is super size, big, beautiful woman.
How much do they weigh?
I think to get that... Label or title, you need to be over 325.
Wow. Ooh,
but really? Some of them, that's just child's play. They'll push 550.
Well, how much do you weigh? I mean, I don't want to offend, you know. Like, I mean,
83 pounds.
Yeah, really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you're 500 pounds on top of you. That's...
Oh, I think I've had over 1,000 pounds on me.
Wow.
Because I've had a 4 or 5 BBWs stacked on top of me.
But that would crush somebody's leg. I mean, 1,000 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, like if you have a car on top of your foot, that's 1,000
pounds.
Well,
it's a lot. It has a lot to do with weight distribution and also what is underneath me.
Oh.
Sometimes I'll have someone underneath. Like I'll be in the middle of, let's say, the pig pile, and so it's soft underneath me, and then the BBWs are pretty soft on top
right.
of that. I've been trying to up my game because I think my body's just so used to it that it just can handle it. It's never even really come close to hurting me.
Yeah. Just be careful.
Yeah. Yes.
Could you be a superhero? Maybe she's like that movie Unbreakable.
I don't know,
remember like Unbreakable?
Yeah. I think my small size might actually have something to do with it too. Like it's just maybe that build is more resilient because things are compact.
Right.
And because I have like such a low amount of body fat on myself, maybe there's no weight like added to that.
Wow.
It's just theirs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to maybe have someone science it up for me sometime and maybe study it a little bit to see if there's something different about me or if it's a psychophysical thing where because I don't mind it, my body relaxes instead of tenses up, which always reduces injury.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
a lot of drunk drivers never get injured because
they're loose, they're not going, you know. Yeah.
They get a plan.
Yeah.
They're prepared.
They plan it out, but that is a fact.
Like,
alcohol,
their muscles are relaxed.
Right.
So they actually don't get injured in an accident. It's kind of weird.
Well, that's what NASA, like those astronauts, you know, sometimes, you know, they make it out. Like back then, you know, we're like Apollo 13 or, you know, like I would be freaking out going like, get me out of this damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm out, you know, eject,
yeah.
You know.
You and I would make horrible astronauts.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
We would freak out in the minute we got up there.
Yeah, no, forget about it. No way. But you know what? NASA has...
Yeah, it's pretty much like a coffin that explodes on top of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You and I...
That firecracker guy could not have handled that at all.
He's like,
I still can't believe, like, what a...
Like, weirdo. Huh?
What a weakling.
I think
that's the part that disappoints me the most about that. I still can't get over that.
I think he's an idiot.
Well, that's true. I mean, but, you know...
That killed him.
Would there be porn...
Is that how weak we're getting as a species?
Maybe.
We're just, like, frail, like a little... Because I remember like holding those in my hand as a kid and throwing them at people.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, you didn't do that?
I guess not. He was dealing with a more serious...
Yeah.
I hope
and there are some serious ones, you know, yeah, of course.
Hope so.
Man, embarrassing. Oh,
yes.
Weirdo. All right, let's get... You know what? Speaking of weird shit going on... You know,
aside from
the people getting killed from firecrackers and Odette getting basically squashed by a pig pile. Oh man, you know what? I would think that to me would be almost like a football, you know, play. Like
I probably would have been awesome at football.
Yeah, I think you would have been. I think so. That arrest, but let's get to the Vatican tapes. Okay, they found tapes in the Vatican, and they're not about. Sexual abuse toward kids. I'll tell you that one. They're about demons, damn it.
Yeah, it's always been
again, you know, and that's the thing. I think the Catholic Church, I think, love these movies because it makes them look like, okay, we're heroes. We're not the scumbags, some of them are.
They have better PR people these days.
Yeah, I think, because they get shitloaded. I mean, we're talking about, you know, talked about Scientology being like a...
Carlos, there's so much secrecy to the Vatican, you don't even know.
But is it about demons or is it about stuff that maybe they may have killed or they've hid?
I think it's about everything.
Are they pro-Nazi?
I think they were partially involved in the
Holocaust.
No, in the slaying of John F. Kennedy.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because did you know that they were laundering money from the mafia at the time?
Oh, okay. No, I mean, I know. Wait, weren't the they were the only Catholics? They were the only Catholics to be elected.
Yeah. How do you think the Vatican got so rich?
But people,
they were laundering money from the mafia. It's a whole.
I don't know.
You know what? It's a whole other topic for a whole other podcast. But I'm telling you, there are very dark sides. Yeah. To the Vatican. In fact, I think they did murder one of their popes.
Really?
Yes.
Not John Paul. Please don't be.
No, it was one of their popes who was about to come out with some of the truth and all that.
John Paul II is like Terminator 2 of movies. He was way better than the first John Paul. I tell you that much.
Right? Why do you think the Vatican came out this year with the idea that, alien life could exist?
I don't know.
Never make you wonder?
You're scaring Odette, please.
I know.
I know. Sorry. That's good.
Just this year, they came out with that.
Well, this one is not, I don't think it has anything to do with aliens, has anything to do with sexually abused boys or girls or whatever, but it definitely has something to do with a Latino or Hispanic or whatever priest trying to figure out how a woman got possessed by a demon. All right, let's play this clip right here. Are you okay? Don't get scared, okay? All right, are you okay?
I think I got this.
All right, you sure? Okay, I don't want to get
PG-13.
You scared. It's PG-13.
Qualified.
Okay, all right. You're okay, you are over here. Okay, let's see here. It's a green trailer, too, so there's no like cursing or anything. Oh, there it is. The Vatican.
Stati attenti.
That is a creepy city.
You're a villain?
No, I don't want to go.
It's an option.
He has left us a trail. Now we must find him. You're one of us now. A warrior of God.
A warrior of God?
Why does the devil choose one person over another?
That is true. Why does
he even choose anyone?
But he has to choose a hot person to sell the movie.
Yeah, of course. You have to.
It's the truth. Demon's greatest threat is not to your body.
I like how there was the really? Blood on the cake. I was still eating.
God is going to see you through this.
Yeah.
Something is coming. And something bad is going to happen.
He's going to help you, sweetie.
Uh-oh.
These things are never easy.
Corpus Domini Nostri Jesu Christi.
Oh my God.
Oh, there you go. He's possessed.
Yourself.
So is this The Exorcist or?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like this story has been used before.
It's the ultimate battle once again.
Except there's more priests.
Right. Yeah. And real it's beautiful.
It's the Antichrist.
All trailers have gotten so like heavy hits,
right?
You know, it's amazing. I've been to the Vatican.
Uh oh.
And what did you think of it?
Yeah,
I think it's amazing. It's quite an interesting place to see some of the artwork and everything. It's its own city, which means they can do whatever they want. Which is why I think lot of things have gone on there that no one knows about.
Mm-hmm.
No one can punish them for anything. It's their own
entity.
They're their own city. In other words, the Vatican City, it's not in Rome. It's their own.
Yeah, it's their own. It's country, basically.
It's their own country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought it was beautiful. Like, I saw the Sistine Chapel. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, to see what Leonardo da Vinci, you know.
Were you going to say Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
Okay, just checking. Right. I thought he was, but all right.
No,
just
he didn't. Right. But, I mean, to see some
he did it, but I thought
the artwork and everything, it was pretty amazing. I did think that I was walking with my mom through kind of the main area, like the main citadel area,
uh-huh.
And I thought the mummified popes
oh, wow.
was a little much.
Really? Were they real?
Yes.
Real. But what did it look like?
They looked like themselves mummified.
Okay.
And it raisin was, people.
Yeah, okay, really? Yeah.
It was shocking how well maintained they were.
Wow. But,
and they were in these kind of clear...
like caskets kind of?
Clear caskets where you could just go and watch them and see them. And I told my mom, I'm like, I think this is a little much. You know, I mean, it's like, why does it have to be so dark?
Well, they have to, you know.
It's the Catholic Church.
They got to get you on there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's pretty fucking dark. Like, I appreciate what they're doing, but I'm just like, this is a little much. There's kids, you know? And I mean, it's like, there's kids walking.
I think every priest is like, whoa, what? Really?
Where?
That's right. Where?
No, I'm just saying, there's kids walking through there.
I would not be a kid if going to the bathroom.
I don't think they necessarily need to walk up and see a mummified body. The Egyptians, much different. But it doesn't, these guys look like themselves. It was crazy.
How's their hair? Were their hair still intact?
Yeah, but it was
the nails
weird.
And everything. Yeah, of course. You know?
They look like Vlad Dracul.
Dracula. Yeah, okay. All right.
In the movie.
Right.
Like with these weird...
Yeah, they had the weird... Yeah. I wonder if... some in Portland. There might be some in Portland. Yeah. I don't know, maybe if you got to do a shoot maybe up there. You don't know.
Oh, I've had some mummies.
Yeah, mummies up there. Mummy porn.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean...
It's good fish.
It's a good... You got to go see it. I mean, there's a lot of history there.
Not Vatican tapes. You don't want to see Vatican tapes.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, but the Vatican tapes... Yeah, so what are the tapes? I want to see the tapes.
Yeah. Do they show us the tapes?
I don't think they showed a little... They showed a little tapes, but they might be film. I don't know. I'm waiting... Maybe the sequel will
be
DVDs. Maybe Vatican DVDs, you know?
Last tape player was thrown out, so now no one... We can't use them.
You're dealing with an organization that is very...
Mike, you're scaring Odette.
It's very deep in its...
Is it worse than Scientology?
Oh, yeah.
Are they both... Really?
Well, no, I think Scientology might be a little worse.
Is it worse than...
But they have the years. They have the mileage.
Yeah, they got
belt.
The history under the belt.
Oh, yeah.
They got the Crusades under there. You know, come on.
No, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Genocides and who knows what else.
Yeah,
yeah, but Scientology is pretty bad itself. I mean, I have a...
And speaking of which, let's get down to the Mission Impossible. Now, you've never seen Mission Impossible, the franchise, the whole film thing, right? Yeah, it's pretty much, it's basically the American version of James Bond. That's basically it, you know, with Tom Cruise.
When are they going to figure out and just say, like, it's impossible. Stop trying.
And no.
How
and
many
never,
movies do they have to make before?
They don't get it.
It says it right in the title.
They don't get it. They've been trying this for years. They think it's possible.
50-year-old man at this point.
He is. He still looks, you know, he's getting there. You know,
he looks great, but I'm serious. He's 50 years old. He's hanging out of a plane.
Would you find him attractive? Have you ever found Tom Cruise attractive?
He's not bad, right?
He's not a big guy. He's a
rich, rich 50 is poor 30.
Yeah, that's good.
I only wish I could look like that at his age. I mean,
I don't blame the guy. I mean, he's a weird guy in a way, but I mean, you know, he's got his stuff. You know, he does his thing. You know,
he teaches his own. Yeah. He believes his own thing.
You know what I mean? So, you know,
what celebrity who's been a celebrity for that long isn't weird?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I can't name a regular. Well, maybe I don't know. I was going to say Robin Williams. No. bad. Never mind. Sorry. All right. Well, let's get down here. Mission Impossible. This is basically Mission Impossible 5. This is
I can't believe they
Rogue Nation, meaning there's an opposite of Bizarro Mission Impossible. You know, like Mission Impossible have like their crew. Like it's a bunch of guys, right? With Tom Cruise. They're going against guys who did the exact same thing, but are bad. Okay, so it's basically good versus evil. Okay, if you believe that. I don't know.
One club versus the other.
Yeah, but one is good. One is for good to help, you know, the Earth not blow up by a firecracker or death bullet. Mm-hmm. The other one is very pro-death bullet. That's basically the difference, okay?
All right.
So they have a death bullet.
I don't know. No, I don't think Death Bullet is in this movie, but it might be. I'll show you the clip. I'll show you. Let's play the trailer. Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation, guys. Rogue Nation. Not Porn Nation. Hopefully, in the future, we could see that. Maybe.
And not Vogue Nation.
Not Vogue Nation.
You have to get through 12 feet of concrete and 70,000 gallons of pressurized water without
any metal. Easy.
No oxygen tanks.
Benji, stand by.
That's the impossible.
Ethan, you ready?
I don't think he's ready. No, I don't think he's ready.
Ready. Important point. If you haven't opened that hatch after 2.5 minutes, we're both dead.
Is it his plastic surgeon last week?
Yeah, I got it ready, yeah.
Ethan, do you copy? Ethan, abort! Abort now!
Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you okay to drive? I mean, a minute ago you were dead.
What are you talking about?
This is not going to end well.
Let go, driver.
Chairman, the time has come.
If you have to ask them if they're okay, they're not okay.
Right, yeah, of course.
It's not just a rogue organization. It is a disgraced one.
I forgot Alec Baldwin's in.
Shutting down the IMF is a mistake you may regret.
Uh-oh.
Listen, Brent.
No secure.
Yeah. The syndicate is real, and they know who we are.
What, Zeppelin? Really?
The Rogue Nation, trained to do what we do.
Well, they had hit music these actors could relate to.
The Queen was...
The Queen was already taken. Sorry.
What does Led Zeppelin have to do with this movie?
I don't know.
Get a good composer.
Down the syndicate.
My comment.
It's impossible.
It's what...
Take your position.
It's their jam.
Yes, of course.
The show's about to start.
Yeah.
Got it.
Takes him back to the good old days.
Back in the Mission Impossible days, yeah, good old days.
Now we are all wanted by the CIA.
Awesome.
Keep your seatbelt on. You want to be down now?
Uh-oh. Stunt. I think Tom Cruise does
it. They spent $500,000 on this trailer alone just by getting Led Zeppelin music.
Yeah.
Open the door!
Come on.
I like Led Zeppelin, don't get me wrong, but...
Stunt. I think I have to say, out of the three trailers, this would be the one that, like, if a gun was pointed to my head, like, you got to see one of these movies, Odette. Wow. I would probably see that one.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
It looked, visually stimulating, yeah. And
who made it though? Because didn't Tom Cruise get, like, ousted from all the studios?
No. It's Paramount. I think it's still Paramount that does this.
But yeah. I thought he got ousted when he went nuts with Oprah.
That was, like, what, 7 years ago? That was a while ago. That was, you know, come on. It's Mission Impossible. That's a big thing. They got to get him back. You know what I mean?
People can't remember that long
ago. They don't even remember that Kim Kardashian is really a porn star. You know? People forget about that. You know, and Paris Hilton was pretty
basically... How quickly we forget.
You know what I mean? Come on. Let's get real. Let's get real, Michael. Damn it. That's what I'm saying. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. I might check it out. I did like the one before that. I think
the first one, the very first one,
yeah,
was so convoluted I couldn't even follow what the hell was happening.
I was
going to
say, I still don't understand like
Rogue Nation is? Yeah.
It seems like just, you know, things exploding.
Right.
And... Well, people running around, getting their workout in.
Yeah, exactly. I think the last...
it'd be something I was like, all right, like, I watched that before I go to the gym.
Uh-huh.
You know, but, like, I don't feel like I'm taking away any sort of story quality.
No.
Or it's not going to make me think about the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, honestly... Pixels probably would make me think more because then I would think about like, I would like to think about like how many alternate stories they could have done from that concept of like the first thing that aliens find of us and how they would react to it.
Right.
Instead of sending out like stupid video games, like what if they put out like, you know, one of my pornos.
Oh.
That would be a totally different movie.
They would make these.
That would be a hilarious movie.
They would
movie.
Make these. They see that maybe a pig pile, maybe a
who knows like what kind
you
of
sleeping,
movie that would
you dead in a way.
Or or what if they put out like you know, like an actual like a good film or something.
Mm. No. Not
there's
NASA.
So many ways that movie could have gone, mm-hmm. and I think they just sort of They're just like, ah.
Whatever, you know. I'm tired of
writing.
It is like Hollywood, where sometimes when you look at a movie, like a great movie, and then all of a sudden you go, why can't this be every movie, you know?
Yes.
But then you got a movie like
Pixar. It could be. Right. There's so many good, like really good scripts that I feel like they just like don't even get optioned, and then they find like someone had to like literally sit down with this script,
right,
and say like, this is something worth throwing a ton of money at.
Yeah.
Like, who made that decision?
I don't know. I guess they...
Were they smoking? Yeah. Yeah. Like, what... Like, I don't understand how that came from an idea to being a multi-million-dollar business venture.
But, you know, sometimes it's a lot of balls because, you know, if it was 1970-something, right, and had George Lucas... If I was a studio executive and had a young George Lucas literally explain to me Star Wars, like the truth, I would be like, you want me to make a movie where there's a space gorilla and some old guy, you know, about some knights or whatever,
like a creepy little robot that looks like a porta potty,
and green guy who is a master, and I'm like, you know what, get the fuck out of my office.
True,
you know what I mean?
True.
But some people are like, and that's why George Lucas actually is very rich, because they didn't technically put the money in for that. They kind of like say this is kind of like put it out as there, but as for production, or they just literally said, hey, you know what, we don't even know this if this is going to do well, right, we're going to give you the whole fucking thing,
right,
and that's why he made so much money off of Star Wars, because
profit margin, yeah,
like, because basically they had no faith in that movie, and when in hindsight they're like, oh my god, we could, so basically,
well, it was the merchandise too.
Yeah, like, exactly,
they probably already spent a bunch of money on
right,
that movie,
true, right,
video games, everything, right, like, just, but the action figures alone, I mean, yeah, my god.
And believe it or not, yeah, I just realized that the movie I did enjoy, the Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which was the last one, was directed by Brad Bird, who did what's it called? Those he's a Pixel guy. Pixar, excuse me.
Pixar?
He did The Incredibles and The Iron Giant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically,
you know, I really like The Iron Giant.
Right, Iron Giant is a great movie,
but
too.
But, you know, that was traditional animation, which I really liked.
It was one of the last. Yeah.
I mean, aside from, like, Spirited Away or, you know, movies like that, yeah.
But Brad Bird, I mean, you can definitely tell that he's a damn good director, because all the other ones, I mean, they're probably good, but in a way it's his interpretation. Like he was like, I think they were just saying, like, this guy did movies like Pixar movies. But he's such a great, those Pixar movies are so, great. And not only the animation, but the story wise. And that's sure, hooks there. And that's why they made so much
Iron
money.
Iron Giant, though, is legendary amongst animators.
Yeah, it's very the last one. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's highly recommended.
It's a great movie.
It's a great story. It's a great story. And
it's really beautiful, too. I mean, but, the music is fantastic.
I probably will be seeing Rogue Nation. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a sucker for action movies in the summertime. I don't know why, but, you know,
I still want to see Insidious 3.
Will you calm down a little
bit? I've seen one and two. I really liked them both.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. We'll see.
Big goals for summer.
Big goals. I want to see the pig pile. I want to see this. I'm curious about that.
There's a trailer or two on the site.
I saw this too. I saw a picture of you, and it had something to do with Pop Rocks. And I was like, whoa.
That was my fireworks display. I did is I bought 10 packages of Pop Rocks, and I had this great idea to make like a little, I like making little holiday videos just for the fans.
Uh-huh.
And so I made this like 3-minute video where I drank a bunch of water until I had to go pee really bad. Uh-huh. And then I dumped out all the packages of Pop Rocks on a big painting drop cloth.
Oh.
And I just stood over it, and I had like one of those little pinwheels, like 4th of July, uh-huh, and a little fake sparkler.
Right.
And then I just peed all over the Pop Rocks, and they exploded.
Wow.
And it got to be really loud, and I used like a overhead mic, so just picked up all like the sounds,
the
and I was like,
fireworks.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
that was my fireworks display.
See, there we go. That was safe, and yet you didn't die from that. Like, unlike the
Not
other guy
all.
Who put it as fireworks on his head.
He should have just, you know, saw that first and thought, oh,
That's how you
see,
do
that's
it.
Doable.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what Pop Rocks are.
It's that candy that you put in your mouth and it like explodes, like fizzes. It's like a kind of a retro candy.
Yeah, it's like in the 80s or late 80s, early 90s, maybe. I remember like the
because you probably had good parents where they're like, this probably shouldn't go into a human being.
I
remember Nerds.
It's close.
It's
kind of
like Nerds that explode
but
in
they,
your mouth.
Yeah, it makes
it's like it's like eating Alka-Seltzer, but it's like they took someone was like, "Hey, what if we took Alka-Seltzer and chopped it up and made it cherry flavored and put it in candy bags and sold it to kids?"
Kids,
that's terrible.
You know what I do remember.
That's it. Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
I remember the little cherry bomb things.
You put it down
the
bathroom.
Movie theater.
Yeah.
No, like in your mouth. The Red Hots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I popped one. I remember I was at a movie theater for the first. I had one for the first time at a movie theater.
Right.
And I popped it in my mouth, and it just started burning.
Yeah, of course.
So I spit it out.
Right.
But then I heard it roll all the way down.
Boy.
Like to the very front of the screen. It was, you know.
Did anybody hear it?
You know, it's dark.
Yeah, I know.
Therefore, they can't hear.
They can't hear. Yeah. No, because I remember that one time where we were in the movie theater and he had a nose whistle.
For the sinuses. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember just being like I was laughing through it, but I would imagine the people next to you must have been like, "What the fuck?"
Well, no. Luckily, we were in Mission Valley.
Or something. I don't know.
And we were seeing a movie in the middle of the day, and there was no one there.
Right.
So it was just you and me, and then there was no one around us.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really funny. It's very noisy.
I thought I was nuts. I thought I was the only one that could hear it. But then you told me that you could hear it.
I could hear it. It was like some movie or whatever, and you hear. That's all you hear. I'm sorry, man. But you know what? Those are the days, man.
It's good to be back.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, you
it
know
gets
what?
Better.
It does get better, and I hope it does get better with California. Let's come to your senses, guys. I mean, come on. Let's make porn fun.
Let's make porn fun again.
You know?
Let's make a lot of things fun again.
Yeah, exactly. We're living in a weird state.
I feel like we all fell asleep and just woke up to it.
Everybody just kind of got stoned. They're like, oh, it's voting day? Yeah. Like, that's the problem is only the sober people went out to vote.
Right.
And they were angry because they're sober.
Yeah. You know what it is? I think they should do it Friday night instead of Tuesday, Tuesday. Because that Tuesday sometimes it's like,
you know, like after, like, voting should start after the bars close.
Right.
It's like that next thing you get to do.
Right.
And then you just vote from your heart.
Yeah, exactly. You get real.
Or they offer free drinks at the polling stations.
Okay, here we go.
So you get incentive or food or something to get the people who are nice and like equality out the door.
Well, you know, in Washington, D.C., they had a mayor, Marion Barry, who...
He was like the first person to go shopping for...
He smoked crack cocaine on camera.
Okay, that's something different.
No. Marion Barry, he smoked... crack cocaine on profiling their thing, like they were basically trying to bust him basically, and a surveillance thing on him, and he was smoking crack cocaine.
So it was a sting?
Yeah, it was a sting basically operation. Uh-huh. Right here he got busted, apologized, I don't know if he served time or anything, got reelected again. Again, so DC was like, you know what? Well, I like him.
I'm not surprised.
Just trying to relate with constituent.
I think if somebody kills somebody, I think we can still like be like
most of the politicians. Yeah. Most of the politicians are corrupt anyway.
Yeah. Well, this one, it's really interesting. Well, Rob Ford from Toronto. He had this debacle, whatever there. But that's Canada. We can laugh at that. But
that legend.
Yeah, exactly. He is a legend now. I am legend. That's his thing.
Yeah,
right there. Well, Dad, thanks again for doing this show.
Thanks for having me. This was fun. And I learned a little bit about movies.
Yeah, see?
And maybe I'll see one of them.
Definitely. I would recommend. I would definitely recommend a lot of there. And where can we find you? On Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Odette Delacroix. And I'm going to spell that one out.
Yes.
Odette Delacroix.
Wow.
And my website that we were... casually mentioning off and on with the big girls is petiteversusplump.com. So PETITEVSPLUMP.com.
There we go.
And if you didn't get that, we'll link to it on the
yeah. Right. And so, and of course you're on Twitter, you have the videos and everything and to see on there. That's
yeah,
how
it's happening.
You. Yeah.
And from there the tree branches forth and you can find me on all sorts of other things. Wow. But I like to keep it simple.
Right, no, there it goes. You're a life model. There it is, right there.
Life model,
Odette. Life model, all the way, right there. Well, thanks again for doing the show. Mike, again, thanks. You know, I've been missing you. We haven't had a show in a while, almost a year and a half probably or so, but even more than that.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
I didn't realize I was here
this is a reunion show. This is the reunion. This is basically...
I'd like to thank Jorge for taking over.
Yeah.
I have a respiratory condition. It's just gotten kind of tough for me to move my equipment around.
Right. No, I understand.
And, most of you that know from our old podcast probably know that too. It's just gotten worse.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
So, I'm doing okay. And, I do miss it.
Right. Yeah.
Jorge's out of town. I like to thank Jorge. He's done a great job. And I also like to thank Mike.
Yeah, Mike Hoagie.
He's a very good engineer that's also taken over. I haven't left the show. I mean, I do all the posts.
Right.
The show.
We still put you on there. Yeah. We still put you on there.
I haven't actually just spoken in the room with Carlos in a while.
It's been a while. It's like.
I haven't done a podcast in a probably a year and a half.
I know. Hey, it's one of those things. But thanks again for doing the show, and thanks for your hospitality, Mike, and doing your place.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
It's good to have you both.
And you know, we're on Twitter at Come to Your Senses, and on Facebook. Yeah, we still have that. Mm-hmm. I think.
And we're on the Comedy Podcast Network.com. Yeah. You can check us out there.
Yeah, and they got great shows, of course. Mm-hmm. And of course, because you're listening to it on the Comedy Podcast, and we're on iTunes, of course.
Yeah,
right,
iTunes.
There. And thanks again.
And everything's linked there.
Yeah, everything's linked there. Thanks, Odette, doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
That was a very long plugs right there, but that's still good. Petite versus plump. Write that down, Mike. Writing it down. No, he's not ready. Okay, we're going to get there.
We'll get it down in his heart.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We will have it.
You will have it. Well, thanks again, guys. And please, everyone, come to your senses.
Receive this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit comedypodcastnetwork.com.